Are you glad to be here? Welcome to LifeGate Church. If I've not met you, I sure would like to. I'd like to become your friend. I'd like to shake your hand and get to know you. God wants to do some great things in all of our lives. And so welcome to LifeGate. We're just thrilled that you're here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. I ask you to bless us. I ask you to be with us. I ask you to minister to every single person, every single life. And I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for myself, that the things I say will be interesting, the things I say will be good. No one will go to sleep. Father, as the sower go forth to sow, it falls on good soil and produces fruit that causes us to mature and have an abundant life. And I ask you to help me, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, several weeks ago, we began a new series, and the series is called Growing Up. We've talked about a lot of things. You see, the Bible tells us that we need to mature. He says that when you need to be teachers, you need somebody to come teach you again and get you beyond an elementary level. The people that he was specifically talking to had gotten stuck. In other words, they were experiencing arrested development syndrome in the spiritual dimension. And that happens so much. And so we're talking about things that mature Christians do and how we grow up in the things of the Spirit. So I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about growing up in giving. That's one of the primary things that Christians seem to be arrested in their development. And then last week we talked about growing up in praise. And this week what I want to talk to you about is growing up in serving. So that's what we're going to do. So many Christians are arrested in their development when it comes to serving. So that's what we want to talk about. So right off the top, let me help you and get you on the page with me and so we can answer some questions. And I want a showing of hands. How many believe that a mature Christian will find or hook up and join to or create a place to minister or to serve in their local church? Do you believe that? That's what mature Christians do. Great, great, great. So that's very good. Did Jesus serve and does he still serve? Sure. Paul, James, Peter, John, whomever that you may think of, they served, and for 2,000 years, billions of Christ followers have either found or joined or created a place to serve in their local place. Let me ask you this, and then we'll move on to what I want to talk about. The mature Christians that you know, people that you know have a personal relationship with God and with Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit in their life, do they serve in the local church? Do they? If you think they do, raise your hand. Good. Well, you need some of you. If you think that, if you know a mature Christian, you think you know a mature Christian who has a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God, and has the Holy Spirit in their life, if you think they serve, or you know they serve in the local church, would you raise your hand? Okay, that's most of us. I thought maybe I hadn't said that correctly. But so today what I want to talk about to us is growing up in serving. One day two disciples came to Jesus, and they asked him a question, and it was a very common question, but yet a very interesting question when you look at it. And I find it in the book of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 35 through 37. So if you have your Bibles, and I really would like for you to follow me through the Scriptures, but anyway, here's what it says, and you can see it on the screen. It says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now does that sound like anyone you know? Does it sound like Christians today? Lord, we want you to do whatever I ask. And then he goes on and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And they replied, let one of us sit. Would you say sit back to me? Sit. Let one of us sit on your right hand and the other on your left when you come into your glory. See, Christ followers today want to ask the Lord to do for them whatever we want him to do. But what we want to do is sit. We want to come and sit. We want a victorious life. We want an overcoming life. We want the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. We want to have finances that are really good. We want to have health that is really good. We want to have children that are really good and families that are really good. But what we want to do is come and sit. And ask him to do whatever it is that we want him to do for us. And Jesus said this to them. He says, you guys don't get it. You don't understand how life works or the kingdom works. He says, let me ask you a question. And he usually did that. You know, he always asked a question when he was asked a question. He returned it with a question. He says, let me ask you a question. Can you drink my cup and can you be baptized in my baptism? And then later on down, he explains to us what he meant by that statement. And here's what he meant in verses, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He says, for even, would you say even? Even, in other words, even Jesus, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom. What Jesus is saying here, listen, you want to excel into a life of prosperity. You want to excel into a life of authority. You want to excel into a life, into a position where you're victorious. You got to understand something. If it was necessary for even me, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to serve, you got to understand if you want to acquire that, you need to serve. For even the Son of Man has to serve and has to give. From that conversation with those two disciples, and then as he overheard the other disciples and their discussion with these two disciples, they didn't like them. The other disciples didn't like James and John wanting to get that position. And so they began to fuss among themselves. And so when Jesus heard this, he says, hold it, stop everything. It's time for me just to stop now and teach you about serving. And so here's what he taught them, and here's what he said in Mark chapter 10 and verses 42 through 43. It says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, now just leave it up there, but when you're talking about Gentiles in this particular aspect, what we're talking about here are people that are far from God, people that were not in covenant with God. And Jesus is saying here, the way people try to act when they're not in covenant with me is that they lord it over them. In other words, they want to command and tell people what to do, and they just want to sit. Lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. This isn't the way my kingdom works. This isn't the way it works with my people. It's not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must, no exceptions, must be servant of all. What Jesus is saying here is if we want to excel in life, if we want to have an abundant life, if we want to go into maturity so that we can have a life that really counts and that really matters, then what we've got to do is learn to serve. We've got to serve. And the more we serve, the higher we go. And what Jesus did is specifically connect serving people with maturing or having a life that really matters. Here's what he says in that same context in verse 44. He says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest, have the highest life, the most successful life, the most mature life, shall be servant of all. The believer who will give themselves to service and goes on and will find a place or joins up with a place or create a place to serve in the kingdom of God are truly the people that make the kingdom work. In fact, they're the people that make the world work. General Dwight D. Eisenhower, before he became the 34th president as general of the armies, rebuked one of his generals for saying this. He referred to one of his privates as just a private. He rebuked the general and he said, if we win this war, World War II, if we win this war, it will be because of the privates. It's not going to be because, we're not going to win the war by those who want to sit and tell everybody else what to do. We're going to win the war by people who's going to get into the trenches, who's going to get out there, who's really going to fire the bullets, who's really going to take the heat, who's really going to lay it down. He says that's how we're going to win the war. If we, you or I, are going to win the war for the souls of the people that we love, if we're going to win the war for our families, if we're going to win the war for our children, if we're going to win the war for our loved ones and our friends and people that we want to see come into the kingdom of God, then you know who it's going to be won by? The people who serve. That's what serving is about. Serving is about changing history, changing the direction of history, and serving is about changing eternity. Jesus said that if his disciples wanted to elevate in life and mature, they needed to serve. So I've got to ask you, what do you do for the kingdom of God? What do you do in any kind of ministry to serve people right now, today? What is it that the Lord can count on you to do next week, next month, next year? What can He count on you to do to serve so that we can have victory? I want to make this statement. Every Christ follower should find a place to serve in their local church. But it doesn't end there. And that's kind of where I want to go with our lesson today. I want to make a statement. Here's what the statement. Why There is an accumulative investment in serving. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. But why does God want us to serve? Why is it that God really desires that we serve? First of all, I want to talk about the rewards. There are rewards in serving. Let me read you this scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. It says there, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will" what? Reward what? How many? Everyone, no exceptions. The Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he or she does, whether he is a slave or a free. No matter if they're at the top or at the bottom. No matter if you're at the top of the money income or the bottom of the money income, you will be rewarded for your service. No matter your educational level, if you've got the most education or the least education, you're going to still be rewarded for your service. This is a principle of life. Everyone, no exceptions. The disciples came to Jesus one day and they said, "Lord, we've left everything to serve you. We've left everything to follow you." And the Lord says, "Let me tell you something, guys." He says, "What you're doing is good. You're not crazy because you serve me. Nobody's left houses or lands or money or family or jobs. Nobody's left anything that they're not going to receive in this life 100-fold. What I want to tell you is that God's going to reward you in this life when you serve. And then in eternity, he says, you will have eternal life. But, you know, I was thinking about that, and I know there's rewards for serving, and I know all that's real. But of all the people that I've ever seen serve, and we've got a lot of people here, but not just here, but in any place, I never seen them or heard them say, "You know, I'm serving because of the rewards." I've never heard people say that. Why then do people serve? If it's not for the rewards, then why do people come in here 2 or 3 hours before the service begins and start setting up video stuff and start making gateways, and the nursery workers begin coming and the Sunday school teachers begin preparing their rooms, and the people come up here on the praise team and they practice. They're here on Wednesdays. They're here on Sunday mornings around 10 and they're practicing and they're rehearsing so that when we come in here, we'll have this environment. Why do they do that? Why do people serve? Is it for the rewards? I've never heard that from people. Do you know why we do it? Because serving literally changes eternity for people. Serving literally directs history. Serving saves souls. Here's my statement. There is an accumulative investment in serving. There is an accumulative investment in serving. Now, let me tell you what that means. In life, there is a principle, and it goes throughout life. It starts with your very first day of life and will go until the end of your life. There's an accumulative investment in serving. And what it simply means is that we get rewards better, or we get results better, accumulate them more by long-term than by trying to all of a sudden do something in a short-term period. Let me explain. Somebody wants to go to the gym and begin to have an exercise program. The results will be over long-term. If a person goes to the gym 3 days a week, works out 3 days a week for 30 minutes a day over a period of 2 years, the results they get will be far greater, in fact, than a person who goes to the gym and works out 8 hours for a week. The person that goes to the gym and works out 8 hours for a week is only going to really be sore. But if they go to the gym, there's not going to be any real results. But the person who takes only 30 minutes, does it 3 times a week over a long period of time, will accumulate the results that they like, or that they are desiring. Let me use another example. How about eating habits? Good eating habits and bad eating habits accumulate. Let's say I have bad eating habits and I pig out every meal, every day, every week, every month, for a couple of years. Do I accumulate, right? I accumulate a result, right? See, and by my not eating anything for 2 weeks does not remove what I've accumulated in that long period of time. The same is works the same way when you do it correctly. You have good eating habits, then you know your clothes fit right and you look nice and your body's not suffering because you've overeaten and you accumulate good health over a period of time. Let's use another example. How about a family? See, a family accumulates a relationship. A wife and a husband accumulate by being together and spending time together, a relationship over a period of years. You're not going to have a relationship with your spouse by going out on the weekend and having a romantic affair. That's not going to accumulate you the relationship that you desire to have with your spouse. If you want good relationships with your children, you accumulate this. You spend quality time with your children on a daily basis. You can't just take them off for a weekend or give them a big trip once or twice a year and expect to have a good results with your family. You accumulate these things. There are accumulative results. One more. How about finances? Finances are accumulated, you see, whether good or bad. If you have bad spending habits and you max out your credit cards and you spend more money than you got coming in, well, as you accumulate this over the years and you come to the end of your time when you want to retire or go on vacations or do whatever, you come to the end and there is no money. You've accumulated all this debt. On the other hand, if you do it correctly and you accumulate over the years the right way of spending and have some savings, and well, you'll find yourself that you've accumulated so you can have vacations. You've accumulated in good investments. You've come to the end of your time where you can now take time and retire and enjoy yourself. See, there is our accumulative result. All of life, all of our lives, we accumulate the lives which we have and we enjoy. Yeah, if you got me, you understand what I'm talking about here on accumulative results. Now, the other, what in the world has that got to do with serving? Well, serving is accumulative. It is by our service over a period of time that we see the results that we desire to see. It's accumulative. You see, I hope that every person here has accumulated good eating habits and that you're healthy in your body and your blood pressure's under control and your sugar's under control and your weight's under control. But do you know that one day they're going to stick you in a box because your heart's going to stop beating, or in a crematory? And that body that you've spent so much time with, and that body that you've cared so much about, is finished. Do you know that no matter how much you have accumulated in finances, no matter how good you have taken care of your finances and watched your spending and your credit and all that stuff, one day you're going to leave that. And you're going on to another place. Do you realize that no matter how much time you spend with your spouse or your family, and no matter what kind of a wonderful home you have been able to accumulate, one day, all of you are going to pass on. My point is this, is that the only thing, whether I like it or not, the only thing that really matters, the only opportunity that I have to make an eternal contribution to my life with my time is what God is doing in the kingdom. The only thing that really matters, the only thing that's really eternal, is what I get to invest in serving. By my serving over a period of time, I change history. I change eternity. See, the absolute best investment that I can make with my life and my time is the investment that I give week after week and month after month and year after year to the eternal purposes of God. I lay up treasures in heaven by investing into the lives of people. Paul Bradshaw interviewed Rick Warren. Now, most of you know who Rick Warren is. He's the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. He also wrote The Purpose-Driven Church. But here's what Warren said, and I want to show it to you. He says, "People ask me, what is the purpose of life? And I respond as follows. In a nutshell, life is preparation for eternity. We were not made to last on earth forever, because eventually, God wants us to be with Him in heaven. One day, my heart is going to stop. And that will be the end of my body, but not the end of me. I may live 60 to 100 years on earth, but I am going to spend forever in eternity. This is the warm-up act, the dress rehearsal. God wants us to practice on earth what we will do forever in eternity." How long is eternity? What we're here is such a short time. And what we're practicing and what we're doing is we're laying up treasures. And the way we lay up treasures in heaven is by serving people, by putting into their lives something that changes their eternity, by something that changes the course of their history. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. He says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We sow eternal things into our treasures. I want to ask you a question. Is LifeGate Church a treasure to you? Is the church that wherever you go a treasure to you? Is church, period, a treasure to you? You see, we're going to sow into it. We're going to sow our time, our giving, our lives, because it's an eternal thing. Because we get to serve people. And for the past 20 years plus, Judy and I have had the opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven by serving people. That's how you do it. The best way that I know of to really lay up treasures in heaven is by serving people. And we look at those lives now, and without one being left out, bar none, every single person that we've had the opportunity to really sow into their lives the treasures of heaven, whenever that we've been able to really serve, and they have taken the words that we've taught and the life that we've taught, and they've applied that and made that applicable to their lives, every single one, without exception, has had and are having a successful life. Every single one has elevated in life, that has taken the principles and taking them and applied them to their lives. Every single one. We look at those lives now and we see happy families. We see people with following their dreams. We see people reaching and doing and going beyond their wildest expectations. And there's an individual that I think of every time I get on this particular subject, and every opportunity that this individual has, he comes to me and he says, "Delbert," he says, "Pastor." He says, "Pastor," he says, "you know," he says, "you'll never realize what you did in my life. You'll never realize what it changed." He says, "when you came to town, I hated church. I hated Christians." He says, "but by hearing you," he says, "I finally realized that there's something for me to do. There's a life for me to have, and I can have a good life." And he says, "you'll never really," he says, "I tell you all the time," he says, "but I just really want you to know, I really mean it." You see, without exception, the kingdom of God has advanced in my watch. In our watch, in LifeGate's watch, we have been able to see something happen eternally with lives of people. I have been able to watch the people that we've been able to put into their eternities have been secured. Their histories have been directed. You see, what I'm trying to say is that in life, the course of history and eternity for the lives of people depend on our serving by laying treasures into people. Treasures in heaven. Let me take that away for a moment. Let me erase those 20 years and think for a minute. What if Judy and I had decided that on Sundays we're going to stay in the bed? We're not going to get up. We're just going to sleep late. What if I'd have said, I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to go to church on Wednesdays and hear teachings. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stay home and watch television. I'm not going to subject my children to the teachings of God and let help direct their lives and teach them the right way of life. I'm not going to do that. What if we had decided not to serve? What might have happened to all of those lives? What might have happened to some of your lives had I not served? Let me stretch that out just a little bit more. What if there was no praise team? And they didn't want to come and serve. What if there were no nursery workers or Sunday school teachers or greeters? No video people. No people back there in the control room taking care of all the stuff that's going on. What if there were no sound people? You see, we've been able, because of serving, to change the course of history for so many lives. We've been able to secure eternity for so many people. We've changed the direction of so many things because we've served. Jesus The Bible says of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee." I need you to say that back to me. Jesus went about all Galilee. It's so important. I need you all to say it. Jesus went about all Galilee. Now, this is where I'm really wanting to bring our lesson to today. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases, this is important, and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And after Jesus went about all Galilee and then created an environment for which them to come to and to be healed, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Jesus served people by going about all Galilee and then by creating irresistible environments for them to come and enjoy and be healed. By doing this, multitudes of people came. And here's what I want us to hear. Not only did the people come, but these people, their eternities changed. Their histories were directed because somebody served. I want to say something here, and we'll take this opportunity. Of all the churches that I'm aware, and there are a lot, of the pastors that I know, and the huge, big churches that I go to on conferences and those kinds of things, bar none, LifeGate's volunteer ratio will stand with any and probably exceed. Our volunteer ratio percentage-wise right here supersedes anything that I'm aware of. You truly have created an irresistible environment. You've caught that vision, and you want to do it. You want to do it excellently, and you want to make something here so that when people come, they really do get ministered to, and they really have a good time, and they really get served. You truly have directed the history of lives. You truly have changed the eternity for so many people. And I want to applaud you, and I want you to applaud them, and I want you to applaud yourself. Yeah. However, if we are going to grow up in serving and go on to maturity, we've got to see something from this passage from which I just read. Jesus said, it said of Jesus that he went about all Galilee. My point is this, is that we each have a Galilee. We all have Galilees. My point is that my Galilee is my family, my friends, my work, my people. Your Galilee is the people to which you go among and about. That's the Galilee. Who do you serve in your Galilee? It's easy to do it here. We have created an environment here in which it's easy to serve. It's easy to come in here 2-3 hours early and prepare your stuff. It's easy to set up the cameras and it's easy to serve because we've created an environment in which we can come and serve and enjoy serving and be together. It's not easy to share and serve out there. You know why? Because out there are the lunatics. In your Galilee, are there lunatics? Out there are the demon-possessed. And they're not easy to serve. Out there are people with palsy. Now, palsy in the physical sense is a part of the face or the body goes numb. There are people out there that have emotional and spiritual palsy. They've experienced some things, some tragic things, and they're numb in some areas of life. They're crippled. They've had some horrible things that have happened in their lives. Horrible accidents, and they're crippled. There are people out there, lepers. They say, we got to go about our Galilees. And I joke about it. But really, in my family, there are aliens. In your family, there are aliens. But you see, Jesus went about all Galilee. And what he found in Galilee were all of these people. And does God love those people? He wants to change their eternity. He wants to alter their history. We're not going to do it by just serving in here. I believe that every Christ follower needs to have a ministry in the walls. I believe that every Christ follower needs to have a ministry in the building, and they need to hook up with or create a ministry. I believe that. But where we, LifeGate Church, need to grow up in maturity, we need to grow in serving at, is in the level of our Galilee, wherever we go. Let me ask you, who are you having over to your house for supper and serving them? Who do you take to lunch? Whom do you purchase audio tapes and CDs and videos and constantly feed them a diet of teachings? Whom do you invite every week? You pester them until they finally come to church. Whom do you serve out there in your Galilee? It's easy in here. We've created an environment in here. We have the greatest volunteer force that I'm aware of in here, where we, LifeGate Church, have to lay up our treasures in, is in our Galilee. The people that are out there, that's where we're going to change lives, and that's where we're going to change and direct history. See, I continue to believe that we have the potential to create the greatest irresistible environments right here in this region, in this church. I believe, and I will believe this until the day I die, that we can have a place where that will compel people and draw people to come to get up on Sunday morning and take their shower and dress themselves and get their children ready, no matter if it's sun or if it's rain or if it's snow or sleet. I believe that we can create an environment that people refuse to miss. I believe that we can create an environment, because we're going into our Galilees and we're creating irresistible environments here for them to come to. I believe that we can create an environment that will affect this region unlike any other thing has ever affected this region. That will direct the course of history for so many lives and will change their eternities. I believe that. I want you to believe that. I will believe that, and I will do that and work at that particular goal to the day I die. I will give, and I will serve. I want to end with a powerful illustration about Jesus serving, and see where we individually align. It's from a passage in St. John chapter 13, and here's what it says. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He's now showed them the full extent of his love. It was the Last Supper. It was the Lord's Last Supper. And Jesus knew that in 24 hours, he would have been betrayed by Judas. He would have been arrested, beaten, scourged, crucified, and placed into a tomb. He had 24 hours. What would you do if you had 24 hours? You were physically capable of doing anything that you wanted to do. Did you go on a trip, spend time with the loved ones, get the grandkids over, cut the grass, clean the house? What would you do? Interesting question, and one that maybe you need to ask. But do you know what Jesus did? Let me read it to you, or let me show it to you. It's more what I want to do. I want to show it to you. The Bible says in John 13, 4 through 5, so he got up from the meal. The Bible says he took off his outer garment. And he took a servant's towel. And he wrapped it around him. The Bible says he poured water in the basin. And then he washed his disciples' feet. And he dried it with the servant's towel. And he said he did it to all of them.
even Judas. He didn't think himself too spiritual or too educated, too rich, too famous. And the Bible says that as he did this, he showed them how much he loved them. And he got done and he said, do you realize what I've just done for you? Do you realize what effect I just had on you? Do you realize how this is going to change your life and change this world? Do you realize what serving does? He says, no servant is above their master. And he says, but if I have washed your feet, then I expect you to wash one another's feet. I expect you to serve. If I've done this for you, then you need to do it too. I'm not too spiritual to do it. I'm not too rich to do it. I'm not too high on the ladder to do it. Neither are you. Who do you serve? See, it's easy for me to do this to Terry here. But to whom am I doing it out there? Would you stand with me? Mature Christians serve. And by serving, we really express our love to people. We find a place to serve. We join a place that is serving, or we create a place to serve. And by so doing, we change eternity for people. We direct history. We win the war. If Jesus did it, then he wants us to do it. So here's my thing to you. After every lesson that we've had in this series, I've given us a place to activate. At the end of the giving, I gave us an opportunity to give. And at the end of the praise, we cranked up the praise and we all got a chance to praise. So I was considering, how do I end this one? And here's my conclusion, is I want to give you an opportunity not to commit to me, but to commit to the Lord. Who this week will you contact out there and serve? Who will you take to supper or have to your home? Who will you go to the hospital and pray for? Who do you know that has a spiritual palsy and they're numb someplace or they're paralyzed? Whom do you serve? What is your commitment about this lesson? Will we mature and grow up? Or are we just where we go? What I'm going to do is give you about 10 seconds of silence and let you ponder in your heart. It's a long time just to be quiet. I'll let you ponder in your heart and then I'll pray and we'll be dismissed.